your Bibles today, I invite you to turn with me again to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Writing to young Timothy, who is pastoring at the church in Ephesus, and Paul is in prison. Paul knows his time on earth is short, and he writes to Timothy to encourage him, to challenging, to reminding of what God has put in his heart, reminding him of how faithful that he ought to be to the cause of Christ. I thought as Chris was teaching, some of the things he shared at the end of the lesson, that thought just seemed to tie so tightly with what God has spoken to my heart about in these verses. And I want to try to share with you today some things that the Apostle Paul says to Timothy from this passage. So if you will, start at verse 1, chapter 2. And Paul says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That is the portion of Scripture that the Lord has impressed upon my heart. One thing that makes the family of God such a blessing is how God takes us with all of our differences and backgrounds and makes us one in Christ. There are those that they have great talents and abilities, talents to sing, talents in teaching, have the ability to handle financial matters and things of that sort. And they have abilities that others may not have. But that doesn't mean that we're not all important unto God. I realize God made us as we are. When God paid us, He did not make clones. But God made us as individuals. The psalmist says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God designed us as we are. There's no need to complain and say, God, why didn't you let me have the ability to do that? Because God gave you just what He wanted you to have. But we're all vital to the service of God. I thought this morning, there you probably have heard it, there's a big football game later today. And there is two quarterbacks that will square off in the contest. But one of those quarterbacks, a few years ago, when he was drafted in the NFL, was the last draft pick to be chosen. That draft pick has a title called Mr. Irrelevant. But I said that to say this. There is not a single child of God that is irrelevant in the cause of Christ. We need every one of you serving and honoring and glorifying God. You are not irrelevant to Him. You weren't irrelevant when He died on the cross. And you're not irrelevant as a servant of God. He chose you, saved you, and equipped you to serve and honor Him. So Paul is trying to impress on Timothy's heart just how important it is for him to serve God faithfully. I mentioned last week a couple of things. I mentioned that Paul told Timothy that life is difficult. It is. There are burdens and battles and disappointments and sorrows and things of life that break our hearts. But he also reminded him that grace was available. And I am so thankful that it is. But in these next verses, Paul seems to lay out before Timothy the challenge that is before us. I realize today that God has a challenge to all of our lives and our hearts. That there are four things that Paul says to Timothy in this text. First of all, as a challenge, he gives Timothy the challenge of propagation. In verse number 2, He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The idea of propagation is the idea of spreading the news, sharing the news with others. Paul tells Timothy, and words of my own, Timothy, you're a link in the chain of the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I heard the word one day. I got saved by the grace of God. I have since then been sharing it with others. And they have shared it with others. He is saying to Timothy, don't forget how important you are to the service of God. Sometimes I think that we get the idea, well, I'm just not that vital. I think that if I don't come to church, they'll get along fine without me. Sometimes we get the idea that we don't realize that although we may not teach, we may not preach, we may not be on the mission field, but our place is important to the work of God. We don't all do those things, but we all have a place. We all have a ministry. We all have a work that God wants us to do for Him. Do you realize what Paul is describing? Is how God's work has been carried on from the beginning. Do you realize this thing started long before Bibles were printed, long before radio, television, or internet, long before email and text messaging, God had a system spreading the good news. What was that, preacher? One person told another person. That person would tell another person. And they would tell somebody else. And God's word would be spread. I'm saying that is how God still wants us to carry on His work. I'm thankful we got the internet. I'm thankful that when folk are not able to be here, they tune in and watch it. I am thankful for that. I'm glad we can send emails or send a text to encourage others. I'm glad we can pick up a telephone. I'm glad we have those conveniences. But God still wants us to spread the good news. from one to another. I notice Paul used the word commit. He said the same what you've heard of me or from me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul said, what you've heard, commit that to others. That word commit means to entrust to someone something for safekeeping. I believe it's like this. Every generation, God raises up new links in the chain of faithful people that pass on the good news of Jesus Christ. It's like Paul is saying, Timothy, I don't want you to be a broken link in the chain. Timothy, I want you to be faithful to share the good news about Jesus Christ. I want you to put it in the hands and the hearts of others that they may spread it to somebody else. Let's just go a little deeper. I believe we all have a responsibility to, first of all, our families. I believe we have the responsibility to our friends. I believe those that are closest to us, God has given us the responsibility to be a witness for Him. Parents start out in those early formative years teaching their children about Christ. Jared was our firstborn. And I remember one day, Alice had gone to town. And I was sitting in the chair, holding him in my arms, just as a baby. And I just started talking out loud to him. I said, Jared, I know you're little right now. I want to tell you about a man named Jesus. This man Jesus is the Son of God. Came and was born as a baby in a manger. And he lived a sinless life. Did a lot of great things. Went to a cross and died for our sins. And one day you could be saved and go to heaven. Some would say, one, too little to even know what you're talking about. How do you know? Because one day the Lord touched his heart and saved him. I did the same with Shana and Nicholas as well. All three of them saved by the grace of God. I don't know what God put in their heart. I want to tell you, Mom and Dad, you're a link in the chain. Spreading the good news about salvation to your children. Maybe you say, well, mine's grown now and they're on their own, buried. Got families of their own, children of their own. As a grandparent, you have an obligation to tell your grandchildren about the Lord. Sit down with them. Talk about a man named Jesus and how much he loves them. I want to tell you, that is the responsibility that we all have. But I go another step farther. I say that as we gather here, families coming together, we gather to teach the Word, preach the Word, sing the songs of Zion, testify, praise the name of the Lord, that the Word may carry on. Listen to me, St. John. We all receive the truth from faithful men and women in days past that taught us, preached to us. They preserved the gospel truth and lived it faithfully, that it may be passed on to us and that we could pass it on to the next generation. I did a little reading the other day. I wanted to ask the question, and so, of course, you go to Google. And I typed in my question, and I said, how many Baptist churches in North Carolina closed their doors since COVID? If I'm not mistaken, I think the number was 847. Some just said, we don't have enough people now to pay the bills, so we've had to close the doors, sell the building and the property. Dave Faraday with Channel 9 News went to several pastors in our area, Catawba, Burke, Caldwell, I think, Rutherford County, asked them about why they closed their doors. Same old story. People just quit coming. And we couldn't take care of the church and the expenses. I don't want to be a statistic to you. You look around you today. Our church is aging fast. Gray hairs outnumber the dark hairs anymore, seems like. I realize we don't have the young people we once had. But my stars, I want what we've got to know about Jesus. I want what we have to know. I was growing up at St. John. We had some Sunday school teachers that got excited like Chris about Jesus. You have preachers that pass by our way that wasn't afraid to preach the truth. Our choir didn't sing them contemporary things that cause you to want to dance around, but they sung those good old-timey songs that stirred your heart. Church, I want you to listen to me. It could happen here like it's happened to others if we're careless. If we get careless about our faithfulness, careless about our worship, careless about teaching and preaching, singing those things that are true and right, it could happen to us. I said last week I wasn't going to get through them, and I didn't, and I ain't going to today either. Because I'm going to have to stop here. God's messages that He gives me always move my heart. They always do. But there was something about this message and this point in particular that God really brought it home to my heart. If time goes on, and I'm looking for Jesus to come soon, I really am. But if time goes on, my health may not be to where I'm staying pastor like I am now. And there may come a time you're going to be looking for another pastor to fill this pulpit. Heard Brother James Lockie say one time, every church is only one pastor away from becoming liberal. I believe that. Church, we better get close to God, stay close to Him. These little ones that God has blessed us with, scattered around in our service. I look back here and see little Terry in Jerry's arms. I think about Leo over here. I know Sadie and Luke aren't here today, but think about them, and I think about Sawyer back there. And I pray and I ask, God, would you touch their little hearts one day. Save them by your grace and by your love. In church, that ought to be every one of our prayers. There ought not be a single member of St. John Baptist Church that don't pray for these young ones and these little ones and say, God, let them know the truth and learn the truth and save them by your grace one day. I'm going to stop right there. I can't go farther. God has put the stop sign in my heart, and I've got more I want to say, and Lord willing, next Sunday I will, if you'll let me, or when I preach again, He'll let me out too. David, we need a song. There may be some people today God has touched your heart. And maybe you need to come and bow and say, Lord, would you help me? I don't want to be a broken link in the chain for our church. I want to be faithful to you, and I want to be faithful to my place in my task. And to honor you, maybe I can't do like others, but Lord, help me to do what I can do. And do it for your glory. And take care of our little church family for your glory. While we stand, while we sing, would you listen if God's touched your heart?